A few hours after our discussion on the impact of the Easter Sunday bombings in Sri Lanka, Islamic State leader Baghdadi appeared for the first time in 5 years in a video released by the group. And there was an audio reference to the bombings in Sri Lanka attached to the video. After their military defeats in Iraq and Syria, Baghdadi in the video seems to be attempting to boost the morale of his supporters. And as soon as the video went live, Robin Wright from the New Yorker posted an article about its significance. Robin, of course, is a frequent guest on the program, and we welcome you back, Robin. Would you now, in your role as film critic, tell us what you found most significant about the video? How did Baghdadi look? What did he say?
Well, he looked very familiar the minute you saw the tape. There was no question that this was Baghdadi. But there were two things that were noticeable about him. One, that he has gained a lot of weight. And secondly, his beard has gone gray, or at least the top part of his beard that's growing out. The bottom part of it appeared to be dyed with henna. And it was a very striking thing to happen now, just a month after the loss of the last piece of the caliphate's property in Syria. I was there as ISIS fell. And there was a sense of euphoria that there was no longer an ability for ISIS to rule over people. The ominous part of the tape is that Baghdadi was putting on notice the entire world that his branches, as they call them, his provinces that are menacing underground movements on four continents are still very active, as we saw in Sri Lanka, and as he claimed, we have seen in 92 attacks in 8 countries, even as ISIS was losing territory this spring.
Robin, over the years, he's been reported dead on numerous occasions. And of course, the U.S. State Department offers a $25 million US reward for information leading to his capture or death. Why does he top the list?
Well, he is the most reclusive and most wanted man for good reason. When you think of what his group is today, it outshines Al-Qaeda in terms of the breadth of activities, the number of deaths, the ability to actually take territory and create a state. So it's also a reflection of the way terrorism has changed, or jihadi extremism has changed since we began to see it in the late 1970s. And with each group, we've seen a wider array of recruits from a broader array of countries. Each generation has been recruited in half the time that the previous generation was recruited. And then with each movement, the ambitions, the goals are deadlier and more ambitious. And Baghdadi is the ultimate symbol of that trend, because he is still the leader of the most aggressive and most successful jihadi movement that we have seen.
I'm talking to Robin Wright, contributing writer for The New Yorker and a frequent guest on the program. Has anyone broken the happy news to President Trump, who, of course, saying only recently that Islamic State was eliminated 100%?
Well, the tape certainly broke that news to him. And remember, he also said in December that he was going to pull out U.S. troops from Syria because the mission had been accomplished, and the United States now has a track record of saying they're going to do that kind of thing before a mission is, in fact, complete. Frankly, the United States has never fully understood how to deal with this phenomena, that you can take back territory, you can destroy or kill leaders, but you can't simply use kinetic operations to kill an idea. And the idea is still very vibrant, unfortunately.
The video could be argued as having been aimed at Trump.
No, I think it was aimed at all of us, frankly. I think it was aimed, first of all, to his own followers to say, I'm alive and well, and we're moving on. You know, one of the questions was this a move of desperation, given the fact his caliphate has just collapsed, or was a sign of strength? And you get divided opinions on that. The majority of people I have spoken with believe that this was, once again, clever usage, because it puts countries on notice. It acknowledged ISIS having played a role in the deadly Sri Lankan attack, and a number of others. Remember that ISIS last year had already lost Iraq. Its operations were limited to Syria, and yet it carried out 3,670 attacks around the world, more than 300 in Afghanistan, more than 80 in Somalia, more than about the same number in Egypt, as well as 40 attacks in Yemen and Nigeria. But there were lots of attacks in places that are not in Africa and Asia or the Middle East as well. And this is, again, a reflection of the scope. It may have been also to signal to lone wolves who were sympathetic, go ahead and do your business, you know, unleash your venom, your anger, or whatever, on victims if you were sympathizers of ISIS. So, you know, this was, I think, a really significant turning point.
I'm leafing through comments from others with a claim to expertise in terrorism. Charles Lister, quote, attempting to reassert itself as a global movement capable of conducting major attacks around the world. Daniel Byman, a way for him to both continue his claim to the leadership of the jihadist movement and to give his followers heart in what is a dispiriting time for them. I know that in the past there's been, you know, absolute conviction that he was seriously injured or dead, so he has a remarkable ability to resurrect himself.
Yes, you're right. The Russians in 2017 claimed that they had killed Baghdadi in one of their airstrikes. There have been repeated rumors that he had been injured in other airstrikes by the U.S.-led coalition. So, and he looked hale and hearty yesterday. There were not signs of a serious physical impairment. Now, he was sitting down. He was not at the pulpit as he was in 2014 when he declared the caliphate at the El Nuri Mosque in Mosul. So maybe there's something that was not visible to us. But it's striking that that the coalition and its allies on the ground have managed to kill many of the highest level ISIS leaders, the head of propaganda, the one so effective in creating a social media message that lured people from more than 80 countries to join ISIS, the top military strategists. Many of these people have been dead, some of them years now, and yet Baghdadi has survived. And he's believed to be somewhere along the desert border between Iraq and Syria. But it's amazing
so he's
that
probably,
someone's able to find him.
He's probably in western Iraq, yeah?
There is some suspicion that that's where he is, but he may be moving. This is a very difficult area. But, you know, even with satellites and drones monitoring that area, it's amazing that he has not been found.
The video shows him passing around folders with his officials, and one of them is marked Turkey. The significance of that, do you think?
Well, the video is interesting because he gives notice that ISIS is expanding its branches even after acknowledging losing territory. And it embraces formally two new provinces in Mali and Burkina Faso, both in northern and western Africa. But one of the folders does say the province of Turkey. And ISIS has never proclaimed an active branch in Turkey, and that was widely taken by many as an indication that ISIS may be beginning some kind of formal alliance with an extremist movement inside Turkey.
I presume also the video will serve as a marvelous focus for recruitment.
Yes, I think to a certain degree now. It's no longer simple to, whether it's moving from the United States or Australia or Russia or any place else, to go to a physical entity. That they've lost the ability to do, but it will focus on branches, and this may be the moment that we see the shift of ISIS, of the center of activity, the center of real power through its branches rather than its core.
Robin, how old is he? I believe he was born in the early 70s.
Yes, I think he's in his 50s, and I'd have to look again. But what's really interesting about him is, you know, we have so little physical evidence of him. But one of the first pictures ever circulated around the world was from when he was held for 9 months by the United States in Iraq during the U.S. intervention, U.S. invasion of Iraq. He was picked up in 2004 and held for 9 months and released because he was not deemed to be a major figure. They didn't have much evidence on him. And, of course, that helped. That was a period, those 9 months, when he consolidated and built a network that would first become Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and then he evolved Al-Qaeda of Iraq after it went underground and expanded it to the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria and created what is, in many ways, the greatest national security threat to the entire globe.
The War of Islam, and I'm quoting the video now, the War of Islam and its followers against the Crusaders and their followers is a long one. Our battle today is a war of attrition to harm the enemy, and they should know that the jihad will continue until doomsday. Well, of course, with ISIS, every day is doomsday, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I think we also have to put this in context of the real global phenomena. And this is a period of identity wars. And whether it's, you know, white supremacists, there are a lot of different manifestations of the issue. Not all of them take it to the point of violence, but many of them have changed the face of politics, changed the face of conflict, and make it more difficult. And I think, you know, throw globalization in the middle of all that, that we're going through a period of trying to sort out who we are, what we believe in. And so that groups like this who recruit people who don't feel they fit in any place, or that someone is going to take that identity to an extreme and create a state that fully embraces an abhorrent version of the faith, takes off. And
Robin,
takes off ways.
Robin, forgive me interrupting, but we have to end. It's a very crowded program tonight, and thank you for your contribution. Robin White for writes for newyorker.com.